fear. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. It is McHugh!
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Tonight, myself, Jane Buster, will look back on what's been a very satisfying week. Victories over St Mirren and Dundee, moving us further away from any threat of relegation trouble. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers.
How are you doing?
Yeah, doing all right. Well, Jay, I'll start with yourself as always, and we'll look back in yesterday's game first. A 1-0 victory over Dundee. It was hard fought. At times, it wasn't the most pretty game you'll ever see, but what a goal to win it. David Turnbull from about 30 yards, an absolute thunderbolt, nestling in the net, a peach and a goal worthy of winning any game.
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. You know, I think it was two vital games that we've just come through. Obviously, you know, the most obvious thing was the kind of change of approach, the change of system. That kind of back four that we've been crying out for weeks was put into play. So that was obviously encouraging to see. But it was more than that. You know, there was a lot more emphasis on getting the ball down and trying to play a bit of football. There was a bit more intensity, a bit more confidence, you know, particularly from somebody like Turnbull. The way he kind of holds himself on the park, the way he moves, the way he conducts himself, he's just got that kind of gallus streak. You can kind of see he's got that confidence. And no more so than, you know, trying the effort that he did that flew into the net. So overall, it was decent. It wasn't, you know, fantastic. I think it was a really bright start, and then I think it died away a little bit. I think we probably were the better team overall, but Dundee probably should have scored, particularly in the first half when they hit the kind of the crossbar. I think it was Darno D with a header. So we did ride our luck a little bit. We're still looking completely, you know, sort of inadequate up front. We look as though we're quite impotent in terms of the front two that we've got. So there's still problems there. There's still things that we need to work on. I don't think MD can get too carried away, despite the 6 points. But it's encouraging, you know, when you consider where we are and what we were talking about before these two games. It's certainly a brighter place to be after yesterday's game. And as you said, you know, to actually win it with such a fantastic goal from a player who has such a bright future was the icing on the cake.
Buster, Dundee came with a game plan. I think the aim was to stay in the game as long as they possibly could and maybe almost win the game quite like St Johnstone had a couple of weeks beforehand. A late sucker punch. And they did come in to the game late on after falling behind. But I think there's no getting away from the fact they were pretty poor over the peak. And it gives you hope going forward, because I can't see that Dundee side without major personnel changes improving at all.
Yeah, I think they came and sat in very deep. And it was just before we scored the third round, and I said to Marty, our wee mate, I says, we need to start hitting some long shots because we're looking pretty rubbish up front. And, you know, we hadn't really had any cracks for 20, 30 yards. And luckily enough, you know, brilliant strike right in the top bag. And as you says, Dundee, twice I've seen them now, and twice they've been god-awful. So, you know, this game, we certainly came out on top. We looked the better team, so it's good to see that we're at the moment at least better than you know, Dundee and St Mirren. You know, so hopefully we'll remain better than at least those two for the rest of the season.
Jay, the change of promotion is something that we're crying out for. The manager did change things up somewhat unexpectedly, because I think when we saw the team against St Mirren, we thought it was back. It was very much the same formation, that 5-3-2 that has kind of sucked all the life out of us in recent times. It wasn't. It was a back four, and it was very effective. He obviously stuck with the winning formula yesterday. And again, well, I don't think anybody will go away from Fir Park yesterday having thought that we were superb or we've massively improved in these two games. But the system is more conducive to successful football, and we do seem to be playing a wee bit more in the deck. We're getting more crosses in. Chris Cadden has almost been, the shackles are off for him a bit with Liam Grimshaw in the team. He can, Cadden's able to overlap and deliver crosses into the box. A much improved showing from him in both the last two games. So there's plenty of positives that have arisen from the change of formation.
Yeah, that's it. I think, you know, as I said earlier, it's important to remember who we're playing against. Nobody wants to get carried away and start thinking that, you know, that's us on the up and that's us changed a corner. There's still question marks. But I think the change in formation has, we've been crying out for it for, you know, weeks. We talk about quite regularly about how hindsight's a wonderful thing. But I think this is one example where, you know, you were never, whether you were talking about Motherwell in the pub or at work or on social media or on forums, you were never more than a couple of minutes away from someone slating the 3-5-2 because it simply wasn't working for us. So it was a long time coming. That said, you know, Dundee and St Mirren are by far the two worst teams in this league. I would say from what I've even seen, you know, the likes of Hamilton Accies, are a good distance ahead. So there's no, you know, there's no suggestion that if we had went 3-5-2 and played the usual hoofball, we may still have got the results we got. But what was important was the performance. It was the way we approached the game. In fact, when we spoke before these two games about, you know, the pressure on Robinson and what it would take from these two games, you know, I made the point that it wasn't just the results. It was about the way we approached it. I wanted to see a back four. I wanted to see players played in more comfortable positions. I wanted to see a performance that was, you know, decent football. Nobody's expecting us to turn up and be Barcelona, but at least try and get the ball on the deck, try and pass it, try and be a bit of creative, a bit more creative. And I think that's exactly what we've done over the last two games. It wasn't perfect by any means. There were long spells of the game yesterday where we did fall away from it. But I think overall, when you compare what we've done in the last two games compared to the previous weeks on end, I think there is very clear improvements there. I think the diamond itself in particular in the midfield, I think completely suits the players that are in there. I think Grimshaw starting against St Mirren would have raised a few eyebrows, particularly with Alan Campbell on the bench, but fair play to Robinson, he's got that absolutely spot on, because the way Grimmy kind of fills in behind as Cadden bombs forward has worked perfectly in the last two games and has been a massive factor in why Chrissy Cadden was, for me, you know, the standout man of the match against St Mirren, and had a decent enough game again yesterday. So, you know, he's almost, you know, he's a more of an attacking threat at right back than he was at right wing back. Even though he's further behind in terms of starting position, he's more comfortable going forward because he knows he's got Grimshaw to fill in there, whereas at wing back, he never had that. So just little things like that, I think Robinson deserves a lot of credit for that, because I don't think any fan would have put Grimshaw ahead of Campbell, you know, on Wednesday, and yet Grimshaw's went on to have two great games. And but Turnbull and Biggie there, you know, I think their creativity kind of complements each other. It gives us two players in the middle of the park who want to get the ball down, who want to create things. And McHugh, in particular on Wednesday night, was fantastic in that second half, you know, just putting his body on the line, winning headers, winning tackles. And you know, I think even the back four looks a lot more comfortable than it has done as a three. As I said, I think it's just the front two. If we can kind of get that front two sorted somehow, then I think we'll have a half-decent team. Certainly not a team that's going to go and rampage up the table. I think, as I said, Dundee and St Mirren are far away the worst teams in this division. And I would have been disappointed if we hadn't beaten them, regardless of how we'd approached the last two games. And we've already spoken at length over the last few weeks about how this coming month or two is going to be, you know, really, really, really difficult. So points are possibly going to be a minimum regardless of how we get into games. But it's something to build on. It's something to look to improve. And I think if we can get the front two sorted, because it's simply not working with Main and Bowman, then we will have a team that, you know, at least will be enjoyable to watch, can create chances, might be able to nick goals against teams that are supposedly above us, rather than just kind of launching the ball forward and hoping for the best.
Buster, I think the one positive in recent times has been the likes of Alan Campbell, who is, as a young player, has become such an integral part of our team, a really vital Cog and Stephen Robinson starting 11. Liam Grimshaw's come in for Alan Campbell, and that is a decision that raised a few eyebrows, certainly initially. But the performances of Grimshaw, I reckon Stephen Robinson can feel fairly vindicated on that choice, because Grimshaw, while he's not the most glamorous or attractive of players, he certainly does a very good job. And I think he's also been a victim of circumstances a few times as well, because he tends to come in and do very well. He'll play two or three games, then he drops out, and you'll maybe not see him for 5 or 6 weeks. I just think back to games like Aberdeen away last year when we got a 2-0 victory in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup against Aberdeen as well. He does play against other teams well as well, other than Aberdeen, but these are two games that obviously stand out in particular. He's come in and done very well, and Alan Campbell has got a bit of work ahead of him now to try and regain that place in the team.
You're right. As you said, as both of you said there, you know, seen the teams announced on Wednesday, and the Alan Campbell missing was certainly, you know, the sort of the first thing that, as you say, shocked a few people. But he came in, him and Cadden, you know, suited exactly what they were doing. Grimshaw has a sort of a knack of doing that. Every time he comes in, I seem to think, really, here he goes. But then he comes in and he plays brilliant. And as you says, he seems to play two or three games and then just disappear. But I think, you know, Campbell may possibly have been rested. There's a lot of chat, you know, he was maybe rested for Wednesday's game against St Mirren. But, you know, he had absolutely no right to walk straight back into that team on Saturday there, because William Grimshaw came in and it was absolutely fantastic there. Him and Cadden, as I say, you know, worked brilliantly together. There was a few times even on Saturday where, you know, Grimmy went in a wee sort of mazy run once or twice. So it's certainly going to be hard for Campbell to get back in the team. The amount of times over the last, you know, year, 18 months, we've said Campbell and Cadden, you know, when they get in a wee sort of, you know, wee 1-2 sort of passes here and there, you can see that, you know, they played football together in the youth teams. But Grimmy and Cadden have complemented each other so brilliantly over the last couple of games. As Jay and yourself mentioned, we've seen the best of Cadden yet again, coming for a deeper role, but somehow being more of a threat. And it's probably because he's got a wee bit of a license there to do what he needs to do. And, you know, as you both said as well, fair play to Stephen Robinson. That interview he gave before the St Mirren game, you know, things don't really need tweaked, you know, this, that and the next thing. And then when you've seen the lineup, I think I wasn't the only one who thought, oh, Jesus, fuck, here we go again. Same old. But, you know, he changed it up. It worked perfectly for these two games. I wouldn't see any real need to, you know, revert back to the three centre-halves for any of the games coming up. He just says they're going to be hard games regardless of how we set up. So we're on a wee bit of a roll. Maybe the confidence has been lifted. We just need to actually go away again. And for the, you know, barring any sort of injuries, I don't see any need to change it again for the next couple of games.
Jay, we'll look at the St Mirren game, not in any great detail, but that obviously started, and it certainly did stop the rot in a sense that we badly needed the 3 points. We were in very poor form going into the game, as were St Mirren, but we were able to find a result, to find a performance as well against, I would say, easily the poorest team I've seen all season. They look absolutely devoid of confidence. And Craig Sampson, they've got a goalkeeper who is certainly prone to big mistakes and high-profile mistakes. That was the case with David Turnbull's first goal. The ball just basically going straight through the goalkeeper. Second goal, a fantastic team move. I think it was 14 passes that was in the lead-up to the goal. Chris Cadden puts that away nicely. Cadden, we've obviously discussed him earlier on in the podcast. It was 50-odd games since he last scored in the league. Goals definitely lacking from his game. While early on in his career, he was quite prone to scoring fairly regularly and certainly has always enjoyed a goal in the League Cup. Good to see him get on the score sheet. Good to see a lovely passing move for one of the first times of the season. And it brought results with it. So, St Mirren, it was on the cards for a Halloween horror, but it was far from it. It was a good performance, a confident performance from a team that were supposedly lacking in confidence. So that was a game that we might now look back on as the one that changed the direction our season's gone.
Well, as I said, I mean, you've said yourself there about how dire St Mirren are, so I wouldn't get carried away in terms of seeing it as, you know, a turning point or anything like that. It's now important that we kind of, the confidence and the momentum that we've maybe built up over the last two games, it's important to try and take that forward. And it still remains to be seen how we'll approach, you know, for example, the game on Sunday at Ibrox. You know, will Robinson have enough trust and confidence in the players to continue the way we're going, or will we resort back to something a bit more in terms of, you know, try to shitfest it because it's at a higher quality opposition? That remains to be seen. But the two goals that we scored at St Mirren, I think, were you know, representative of what we'd kind of changed about the lineup and about the mentality. You know, the first one, for all it's a mistake from Samson, we've not had the confidence or even the players with perhaps the ability to have an effort from distance. You know, before Wednesday night, I can't really remember the last time that, you know, obviously I remember at Pittodrie, McHugh, you know, falling on his arse as he had a dig and it somehow, you know, came off the bar as it dipped at the end. But, you know, we've been very, you know, very shy of shooting because there's not that confidence there. They almost, you know, lump the ball into the box, get the ball in the box, getting the ball in the box. There's never any kind of, well, I'll have a dig from here. You need the confidence to be doing that, and we've never had that. So although Turnbull's goal was a mistake from Samson, it was just great to see a player hitting it for distance. And of course, we saw yesterday, you know, what he actually is capable of, regardless of who the goalkeeper is. And the second goal, as you say, was at the result of a fantastic move. And again, it's something we've not seen this season. You know, it was a very, very good passing move. And it's something that we've not done at all, because more often than not, Tate would have taken that throw in. It would go, you know, maybe went back the way to one of the centre halves in a back three, and he would have just launched it into the box. That would have been the game plan if we had got a throw in that area playing the 3-5-2. And instead, you know, we're more confident. We've got the ball on the ground. We know we've got guys like Biggie and Turnbull there ready to, you know, play one touch passing and things like that. And it leads to a fantastic move and a great finish for Cadden. So, you know, those two, it's not just two goals, it's two goals that represent, you know, the very things that we weren't able to do prior to Wednesday. And again, as I said, Turnbull's goal yesterday was another example of it. You know, a confident player prepared to take a dig and, you know, having the quality to pull it off. And we've not seen enough of that. So it's important now for us to trust the players. I would like to see Robinson be buoyed by what's happened over the last two games. Trust that he now has players with the confidence in a system that brings out the best and what they can offer, rather than you know, perhaps becoming negative again or being pessimistic or, you know, trying to grind out a 0-0 by going there, getting five in defence and launching the ball long. So it'll remain to be seen how we approach the game on Sunday, because I do think, from what I've seen of Rangers this year, and it will be a very, very difficult task, but somebody like David Turnbull, you know, somebody like Biggie, you know, those guys, Cadden, you know, playing with confidence, getting forward, playing with intensity, getting the ball on the deck, we could cause them problems with the way we've played the last two games. Again, not getting ahead of ourselves, but when you have players that can play that little ball through to set up a chance, that can hit a dig from distance, you know, if David Turnbull gets in that position at Ibrox, as he did yesterday, or as he did against St Mirren, there's a good chance he can score. So, you know, why not go with the same team? Why not, you know, trust the players you've got and hope that they can deliver on against a higher quality side than we have done the last two games? That's the big question for me, because if we can do that, then even if the next 2 months go the way we think it may do in terms of points, in terms of results, at least if you're seeing positive performances, if you're seeing confidence, you're seeing you know, players trying to do something, trying to create, trying to get the ball down and pass it, then you still feel positive about your team. And I think a lot of the negativity prior to the game against St Mirren was not just about where we were in the league and not just about the results, but also about the football we were serving up and the system we were, you know, continually putting in place. So if we could continue what we're doing, we'll probably get, you know, the results will come in terms of maybe, you know, scoring goals that we might not have scored But I think by and large, it's just, you know, it's something to be positive about, assuming we decide to take it forward.
Buster, the podcast could actually be used to just wax lyrical about David Turnbull over the next couple of weeks, because given his performances both against St Mirren and Dundee, it looks like we've got a real player in our hands here. He had shown great potential in the games that he got a chance in last season, dropped out the team, was excellent against St Johnston, and now he seems to be becoming somewhat of a mainstay. He got his first goal against St Mirren, possibly not in the fashion you would dream of, the ball kind of squirming through Craig Sampson, as I've already described earlier on in the podcast, but his performance against St Mirren and then carried into the Dundee game have been absolutely top-notch, and he's really, really one to get excited about.
Yeah, as you say, you don't want to get too carried away this early, but even going back to Partick Thistle and Hamilton Accies last year, you know, again, maybe lesser teams in the league, but he's definitely probably been one of, if not the best player on the park every time he's been involved. And in regards to his, as you say, his goal didn't end up looking the best due to Samson not getting his body behind it, but you know, he's hitting a shot for 25 yards. All he has to do is hit it on the target. Hit the target. You know, if he puts it in between the sticks and the bar, you know, it's up to the goalkeeper to stop it. If he doesn't, absolutely fucking great. But, you know, you say, it wasn't obviously the screamer his second goal was, but you can tell he looked absolutely delighted, especially on Saturday, actually. He looked delighted that it was a screamer as well. But, you know, he's definitely one for one to play football. You can see the difference just having him and Biggie in the team. You know, I think I said a couple of weeks ago, Biggie's the only guy in the team who can maybe even pass the ball 5 yards. Everybody else is a sort of a wee bit of panic when they have the ball. But, you know, him and Biggie in the team, everybody now seems more than capable of passing the ball that 5 yards. As you said, the goal in Cadden's goal, lovely passing move. And for all the stick that their two forwards are getting, you know, I thought Curtis Main holding it up on Wednesday and then laying it off to Cadden again was absolutely brilliant. It's just unfortunate that other than that, Main, Bowman, Johnson, they're just having pretty ball season so far. But David Turnbull, you know, he's certainly one who's first in the team sheet, in my opinion, now going forward. I know he's only a young boy, but do you know what? He's good enough, so get him in now.
Jay Buster mentioned the striking situation, and it remains a concern. Ryan Bowman and Curtis Main, another week has passed where they've been played up top and they've not been able to produce any goals. Main cut a very frustrated figure as he went off yesterday. Danny Johnson comes on, and again, I don't know what the situation is there. It's quite surprising that given his early season form, he's found himself reduced to cameo appearances from the bench. But now when he's coming on, he's not scoring either. We then saw the return of Connor Salmon yesterday as well, which I thought was more an exercise just to wind the clock down. But again, he didn't score either. So it's kind of, you've got four strikers there that are in and around the first team, and not one of them is managing to find the net. We've talked about the fixtures are going to be ramped up a fair bit for the remainder of November and then into December. We need to find some goals. Like, it's all great that David Turnbull's come in and scored two in his last two matches, but I struggle to see where we're going to produce goals from if our strikers that we relied so heavily on last season aren't finding the target.
Yeah, I think you're right. As I've said earlier, I think that it's the one negative for me over the last two games. You know, all over the park, we have looked improved, you know, very much improved apart from up top. But again, we've been saying for a good couple of weeks now that, you know, Main and Bowman just doesn't work. Two very similar players for me. Two players who are off form. Two players that aren't offering a great deal. And so I just don't understand the logic in the two of them playing up top week after week together. It's almost as though we're hoping that in one of these last two games they would have got a goal each and it would have, you know, kick-started their season or something. But I just don't see it. For me, they just don't work well together. They're not scoring goals. Curtis Main should have scored on Wednesday night, had a couple of chances. Bowman works very, very hard, gets in players' faces, but again, isn't offering a great deal at the moment. Connor Salmon hasn't shown a great deal when he's been given the nod. I would argue that he wouldn't show any less than what Main and Bowman are currently, but he certainly hasn't shown any more since he arrived. And Danny Johnson, who did score a couple of goals early on, you know, has maybe fell out the team a little bit. I would like to see his... you know, go with Johnson. I think that Main and Bowman just doesn't work together. I've said for a good couple of weeks now I would go with Bowman and Johnson. I think the last two games, Main, particularly on Wednesday night, although he didn't score, I think he did well in terms of holding the ball up, particularly for Cadden's goal. You know, obviously Main was involved at the tail end of that passing move to hold off the defender, take in the pass and you know, lay it off as Cadden strode forward. So whether it's Main and Johnson or Bowman and Johnson, I think there's definitely an argument for Danny to get a start. Now, we could all say that when he's coming on, he's not looking particularly, you know, up to speed, and maybe he hasn't shown, you know, he's certainly not shown a great deal this season to suggest he's, you know, the next Louis Moult or anything like that. But I think that when we have improvements over the team now, if we're going to be looking to, you know, get the ball down and create things, if David Turnbull and Biggie are going to be in the middle of the park with the ball at their feet, looking forward to see, you know, how they can unlock a defence and how they can create a chance, we need to have guys who are going to put those chances away. And for me, Curtis Main and Ryan Bowman have been below par for weeks. And, you know, I think maybe since the Hearts game, you know, that kind of springs to mind with, you know, Bowman's goal. But I think since then, and maybe, you know, the following week you had Main scoring at Kilmarnock, but I think other than that, I think both of them have been pretty poor. And certainly since that point, they've offered nothing for me up top, apart from, you know, very, very rare flashes like Main setting up Cadden. So for me, it's the one negative at the moment over the last two games. If we're going to sit here and say that we can't get carried away with the change in the formation and you know, some of the performances because of the standard the team we're playing, because we've been playing against by far the two worst teams in the league, then that isn't a great endorsement of our two strikers. The fact that even against by far the two worst teams in the league, and despite creating chances, those guys couldn't go on the score sheet. So for me, you know, I think there's an argument for either one to be dropped, but we need to see one of them being dropped because it's becoming very clear that the longer this continues, yes, one might go off one of their arses and it might give them a bit of confidence, but I think we really need something different up top. We need somebody who's going to get in behind and run on to a Davy Turnbull pass and at the moment, and then finish it, of course, and at the moment I just don't see it being Maynard Bowman. Whether there's therefore scope in January to maybe look to bring, you know, whether it's, I think the only player that we could maybe move on at that point in terms of up front would be Connor Salmon. Whether it's then a case of looking for one of the young guys to step up and offer something different up top, or whether there is somebody maybe on the radar, that might be something that we should be looking at, because it's the one area of the team at the moment where I think that we're really, really struggling. And as you said, you know, it's great to be all excited about Davy Turnbull. It's great to for him to be the current hero, but we can't be relying on, you know, an under-20s central midfielder, as good as he is, to be scoring our goals, because that's not the way we're going to get vital points. We need our front two to be, you know, chipping in with goals, and at the moment, I just don't see where they're coming from.
Well, quickly look at next Sunday's fixture, our next Scottish Premiership match, where we take on Rangers at Ibrox. Bastard, it's just not a place you want to go and experience football, is it? It's, and Rangers under Stevie Gerrard have been very, very strong at home, which has been a marked improvement in last season, where they struggled, they dropped a lot of points at home. I think it was a record number of points they dropped at home over the course of last season. A big ask. I think they're very much overhyped and played up to be much better than they are, but there's no getting away from the fact that they do have some very good players, and at home, that it's a formidable task. So, yes, we've won our last two games. Yes, the tails will be up. But we've got to, first and foremost, I think, ensure that we don't find ourselves on the end of a hammer and suddenly you can be back to square one in terms of confidence and team morale heading into what we've already described as a pretty brutal run of fixtures.
It's always a difficult one. Do you want to be going there to watch the football? Well, me and Jill talk to you about that in a minute, to be honest with you, because we were discussing this earlier. But it's going to be a hard one because, as you says, Rangers are no the Rangers of old. I think I say this every time we play them. They're no the Rangers of old.
They're not the Rangers of old for a multitude of reasons as well.
Okay, yes, exactly. But as you say, you know, that I think they're sitting third in the table. If we were, you know, I think Kilmarnock are level with them on points. If we were saying, you know, we were going to Kilmarnock, we'd be talking about how difficult a game it would be. It's going to be the same with Rangers. You know, they're not losing £14 million a season for nothing. You know, they're spending that on better players than you know, we could afford. And it's, as you say, it's going to be hard. It's one I'd like to see us. You'd like to see us have a bit of that hustle and bustle that we had last season. I don't think we should be reverting, you know, to the three centre halves. I've got a wee bit of fear that might happen, and if it does, I can understand why. You know, I think we have to basically get in their faces. Use Curtis Main for, you know, what he was good at. When he came in initially last season, you know, argy bargy stuff, you know, he seems to be pushed off the ball pretty easy now. You want to see him, you know, getting in people's faces and causing them problems. But will we? I think if we get a point out of that game, it'll be a very, very, very good result.
See, that pretty much sums it up. We know that it'll be difficult. I think the danger is you concede early on and suddenly that difficult task becomes a great deal more difficult. That being said, they have got frailties. They're not particularly strong at the back. They've maybe been lacking a wee bit of a creative edge, and something that might be a factor as well is the fact that they've got a long trip to Moscow for a game on the Thursday night and then have to regroup for domestic action as well. You've just got to kind of look for these wee glimmers of hope in these games, I think. It's a game that, put it this way, we're not expected to go and win. So that maybe gives you that wee bit of opportunity to relax going into the game. And all the pressure's on them, of course. So man, that's a glimmer as well. Really, truth be told, we've got a dreadful record at Ibrox. And just coming away with any sort of result would definitely be a big, big boost.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's plenty to be confident about. I mean, again, you know, as Buster's just said, and as I said earlier, you know, it remains to be seen how we'll go into the game. I would like to think that, you know, the confidence that we're, you know, obviously if confidence has been a big issue and we change formation, change personnel, change the approach to the game, and win the games, and that boosts the confidence. It seems mad to me to consider that we would then go back to, you know, a previous setup that was depleting in confidence. Because if you're a player and you walk in to that dressing room and suddenly you're back in a 3-5-2, I think that would, you know, be a bit of a kick in the balls over the last 2 weeks. Despite the fact that it's a you know, and obviously a big increase in terms of the quality of opposition. You know, Rangers are capable of you know, beating us, particularly Ibrox, but what they have shown this season under Steven Gerrard is that they are also, you know, you can also take points off them. We've seen, you know, the likes of Livingston beating Rangers. They are not particularly good at times. There are other times when they actually look half decent, but, you know, there are times or spells where they just don't look particularly up to scratch. That's not to say that they're not, you know, quite a considerable distance ahead of us at this point. But we've already shown this season, you know, we've taken a point against them at Fir Park. We have obviously last season, you know, we're fairly successful against them, particularly in the semi-final. So Stephen Robinson has already shown that he's not one to go with a great deal of fear. You know, that kind of attitude that we've had in the past from guys like McGee and McCall, when you kind of feel as though the game's lost before you even get there. I think in the past, at least, Robinson has shown that he's not of that type. So, you know, hopefully that continues and we do take the current setup and the current formation into Sunday's game, because I think we could even surprise Rangers a little bit. Whether Rangers will, I'm sure they'll be aware of the change in formation, unless they watch Sports Scene, because Sports Scene doesn't have a fucking clue. In fact, Billy Dodds apparently didn't have a clue what formation we're playing in. You know, pretty much if Rangers get their kind of information for the BBC, which is possibly unlikely considering they still boycott it. But, you know, so if they've scouted this properly, they'll know we've went 4-5-1, but maybe, or sorry, 4-4-2, but maybe they will, you know, maybe they'll think that we'll approach this game more defensively or maybe return to tight because it's a bigger opposition. So I think we could maybe catch them cold a little bit, catch them by surprise by going and playing or trying to play some of the football that we've seen over the last two games. It's not going to be easy. Nobody should get carried away. I don't think that having won the last two games, we're going to suddenly go to Ibrox and take 3 points. But I think we need to have a wee bit of confidence. We should start to be a wee bit positive about ourselves over the last two games. You know, and as Buster says, if we could go there and get a point, that would be a big, big result. But we do need either a change up top or we need the strikers to really, you know, turn our fortunes around at that end of the park, because it's one thing to, you know, rely on Cadden and Turnbull for goals against the likes of St Mirren and Dundee. But when you go to Ibrox, you know, the chances you create are going to be a little bit more fewer and far between. And so you're going to need, you know, when those chances come along or fall at the feet of Main and Bowman, you're going to need them to put them in the net. And that's the one concern I have, because at the moment, it's just not happening up there. But why not be positive? We've spent practically the entire season to this point being, you know, down about the football we're seeing, being lacking in confidence and being completely pessimistic about games. So why not at least go to Ibrox, have a go and see what happens? And then if disaster strikes and you take a humping, at least take a bit of confidence and a bit of comfort that you went there and tried to play the, you know, the game properly rather than just shit-festing it.
We'll finish up with some commiserations to the Motherwell women's team, who lost out in the Scottish Cup final today, an emphatic 8-0 victory for Hibs. A real golfing class, a real step up for the team, who, as a lower division side, they couldn't quite match the quality that Hibs had at their disposal. A very, very impressive side and an indicator of what lies ahead in the top flight. So I'm sure the team will go away and regroup. There'll be changes in personnel over the break and look ahead to the SWPL 1 season beginning in February time. So, yeah, a disappointing day. Possibly could hear it in my voice that I was pretty disappointed in how it went. It wasn't how we envisaged, but full credit to Hibs. And one of these ones where you just have to say, we go again, dust ourselves off and see what happens from there. Jay, the one positive thing on the sense was the number of Motherwell fans that made the trip to Firhill, a record crowd for a Scottish Cup final, a women's Scottish Cup final. Hopefully the result doesn't put off too many people from attending future games, because there will be changes to the squad. Hibs are very much one of the top teams in Scotland alongside Glasgow City, so the result wasn't a huge surprise, I suppose.
Well, that's it. I mean, I think that, you know, there is obviously that massive gulf in the quality, and I think that, you know, you yourself had said at the game yesterday about the odds and things like that, about how, you know, obviously it was a massive, massive task. But I think, you know, as well as the crowd, it's also, you know, you look at our, you know, the senior team or the men's team last season. We look back at it and we think of it as a successful season, you know, finishing seventh and getting to two cup finals. Nobody then goes on and talks about specifically the game and the scores and things like that. So, yeah, I'm sure they're kind of hurting tonight after quite a heavy defeat. But when they look back last season, you know, winning the league and getting to a cup final, that's all that kind of goes down in the history books. You know, they go down as cup finalists, cup runner-up. and that's a big, big achievement. So although it is a heavy defeat and something that will probably sting tonight, I think in the long term, it's, you know, obviously it's rounded up a very, very successful season, and hopefully they can push on next season in the top division.
Sparta, you've obviously seen loads of the women's team. Don't get me wrong, I know I understand it wasn't that big a shock, but how big is the gulf between, you know, the top of that league and the top of, obviously, the, you know, the women's, the equivalent of the championship? Because, to be honest with you, any time I seen the results, it was Motherwell who were dishing out the 8-0 wins or 8-0 defeats to other teams. And, you know, as far as I'm aware, I'm sure they ran away with that league, no bother. So how big is the gulf there? Is it just a matter that, like, Hibs and Glasgow or Celtic or whoever else, you know, there's three or four massive teams and the rest are... I don't mean just there to make up the numbers, but how big is the gulf?
Well, to put it in perspective, the League Cup final was Hibs 9, Celtic 0. So it's considerable. Obviously, you're going to get draws where City and Hibs are paired together, and that's the only reason that any other team makes a final, unfortunately. They've got incredible strength. City have won nearly 12 years in a row, and then perhaps I've run them so close. I think it was the second last game of the season was a 2-1 victory for City against Hibs, and that clinched them the title. They've also played in the semi-finals of both cup competitions this season, and Hibs have come out on top. So, yeah, they've got a great deal of quality, and I don't know how you go about bridging that gap. Eddie Willecki-Black left Motherwell and has went to Celtic, and his reputation will dictate, I think, that he'll bring in a lot of good quality players, and that'll see Celtic perhaps close the gap somewhat, but I think it's still a huge task. Hibs and City seem to have the absolute pick of the best players. But the thing is as well, because it's effectively amateur status, there's a lot of players at Hibs and Glasgow City that are now on the radar of the teams down south, and the possibility of going professional. I saw one of the Hibs players say it in press during the week that, of course, her ambition is to play professionally, and to do that, you can't stay in Scotland. So it'll be interesting to see how the game develops. Scotland being at the World Cup will definitely make a difference, but it needs to be invested across the board, and it needs more support at grassroots level and kind of almost develop young female players as well, because you don't see enough of it in terms of there's not enough girls teams at youth level, meaning that the game, when you get to senior level, suffers quite badly. So it's a really disappointing one to lose 8-0, and everyone was bitterly disappointed, but I don't think it takes the shine off an undefeated league campaign and also reaching the final itself. But it's going to be very hard to dislodge the likes of Hibs and City as the top two teams in Scotland.
Fair enough, thank you.
No problem at all. Well, guys, I think that's pretty much all. Well, guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for this week. We'll come back again. Well, definitely not next Sunday because we'll be at the wedding, but we'll start it next week anyway, and hopefully we've got another positive result to look back on, because it's certainly been a nice feeling having two wins to reflect on for the first time in quite some time at that.
Feels pretty uneventful this week because there wasn't very much mourning.
That's it. The winning podcasts are always a wee bit shorter, but still really good to get these two wins, and it does put a bit of a daylight between ourselves and the kind of the bottom two. Aki's obviously got a good result yesterday as well, so we're still fighting a battle at the bottom of the league, but we have given ourselves a platform to build on, and hopefully we can continue to do that. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Here we go.
Good Jam. Stuff. Right, I'm going to go and get a cup of tea and some...
just like